Now, folks, let's be honest with each other this morning, okay? You say, oh, we're always supposed to do that. Well, let's really do it this morning. I mean, let's really be honest. I'm going to ask you a question, and your first indication is going to be, I'm not going to admit that. Okay? You're not going to want to admit what I'm getting ready to ask you if you have a problem with. Because you're spiritual, right? I mean, how many of you are students? That's quite a few of you. All right. Probably a little less than half of you. How many of you came to Greenville to be a student? That's most of you. Okay. So in other words, to go to Bible school. Some of you here are already finished with Bible school. Some of you here have degrees, and some of you here have graduate degrees in Bible. But folks, I want to ask you a question, and I want you to be honest with me about it, okay? How many of you here honestly have trouble reading your Bible every day? Okay. Thank you for being honest. Now, some folks, they've got that thing solved. But I know fellas who are working on their PhD in Bible. And when the end of the day comes, it dawns on them that they haven't even read their Bible. Did you know that? I'm a preacher, folks. In case you hadn't noticed that. I'm trying to be one anyway. I mean, I'm supposed to stand up here and preach the Bible to you. And do you know that I have trouble with this thing? Now, I've got the victory over it, by the way. And I do read my Bible every day. And in fact, I don't remember when the last time was that I didn't read my Bible. But I haven't always, not since I've been saved. I know the problem that Christian people have in reading the Word of God every day. Now, Ron Hood comes, and I appreciate Ron Hood so much. Ron Hood and I have a bond of accountability going. Every morning at 6:30, I call him on the phone. That does two things. That ensures that I'm out of bed, and it also ensures that he's in his office. Okay? Now, his goal is to be in his office at 6:30. He gets up, I don't know what time he gets up, 5:30 I believe, he gets up, he jogs and does all that stuff he's supposed to do, cleans up and listens to the tapes and stuff while he's taking a shower, and he goes into his office and begins his memory work at 6:30 every morning, 7 days a week. And my goal is to get up every morning at a set time and to jog and have my personal devotions and get the children up, eat breakfast, have family devotions, and all that sort of thing, and be in the office for staff devotions at 8:30. And so that's not going to happen if we don't do it on purpose. And if we put the Bible reading off to the last thing at night, usually, it will take last place for a long time. You got to put it right at the top. First thing I do when I get up in the morning, first thing you do is you get up and pray like John Wesley for 4 hours, right? No, I don't do that. First thing I do is I get up and I jog so that I can be awake when I read my Bible. Okay, and I think about my memory verses and things like that when I'm jogging. I try to figure out who I am and get my heart beating and that sort of thing. So, I mean, I get out of bed and put on my jogging shoes and go run around the block with my hair messed up. So if you want to see a strange sight, you come to Pole Mill some morning at 6:30 in the morning, okay? And you might even get to take a look at Pastor Kubek doing the same thing because he's decided he's going to run with me some. But anyway, what I'm saying is if you don't put the thing first, you'll put it last, okay? And, I mean, wouldn't it be ridiculous to save combing your hair and brushing your teeth and putting your clothes on until right before you went to bed? You say, that's ridiculous, preacher. That's about as ridiculous as you putting off your Bible reading until right before you go to sleep. Now, it's a good thing to do to read some of the Word of God right before you drift off to sleep. That means it's on your mind during the night. And if you'll do that, sometimes you'll even wake up thinking about it, won't you? All right? But don't put it off to the last thing. All right, question this morning. How can I help my family establish the personal discipline of daily Bible reading? I meant to say a minute ago about Ron Hood. I appreciate Ron Hood. I like the fact that Ron Hood is giving us this emphasis on Scripture memory. We're having him back for a week of meetings in the month of July. I'm thrilled about that. I want every one of our people to get convictions about that and to begin doing that. That's good, and it's right, and it's the way to spiritual success. But you'll never develop regular habits of Scripture memory until you develop regular habits of Bible reading. Did you know that? It's hard enough to memorize Scripture, But to make up your mind that you're going to, and we've had Ron Hood here before, and he said, all right, if you'll memorize a verse a day for 21 days, stand up. And people have stood up that I know are having trouble reading their Bible every day. Now, we make it a commitment to memorize part of the Bible every day, and we're not even reading the Bible every day. That's the very first thing that you've got to begin. Now, when you were born, there was something that you began doing, and you have continued to do that every day of your life, unless you have deliberately set aside a day not to, and that's eating, haven't you? Now, suppose you left off eating for about a week. Say, well, I just haven't had time. I've just got so many things I've got to take care of, and I just haven't had the time. I'm just not interested. You say, preacher, that's ridiculous. No, it's not any more ridiculous than this business of not reading the Word of God every day. When you got born again, you have as much need to read the Word of God every day as you have to physically eat once you're physically born. And if you don't read the Word of God every day, you're going to be spiritually starved. All right. What can I do then to help my family establish the personal discipline of daily Bible reading? Here's the answer. Encourage each one in your family to make a vow to spend 5 minutes a day reading the Bible. How many of you have ever made a vow before? All right. How many of you have made a vow and not kept it, by the way? Okay. Vows are serious business, folks. Did you know that? Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Right after Proverbs. Is it 4 or 5? Yeah, I'm sorry, it's 5. Ecclesiastes 5, 4 through 6. This will give you what God's mind is on this business of vows. You got it? Let's read it together. Let's read it out loud. When thou vowest, come on. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin, neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice, and destroy the work of thy hands? Did you hear that? Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thy hands? If you make a vow to God and don't keep your vow, what will God do on the basis of what these verses have just said? What will he do? Huh? Destroy the work of your hands. Does that say that he will let the work of your hands be destroyed by you, or that he'll let the devil do it? No, it says that he himself will destroy the work of your hands. Now, we're not talking about the instrument that he's going to use. How many of you here have been seeing the work of your hands destroyed, and then you discovered it was because you did not keep a vow to God? Raise them up real high. All right. We could have a testimony or two, but I think we ought to stop right here and have a testimony or two about that. Somebody who's experienced that, give us a testimony about it. Made a vow to God, didn't keep it, discovered God was destroying the work of your hands. Yes. Okay. Did you hear what she said? All right. She said that she had made the vow to pray for the missionaries once a week, and that there were 3 weeks since October when she didn't keep the vow, and during two of those weeks her family was sick. All right, now folks, you say, oh, coincidence. Do you believe the Bible or don't you? Listen, God said he's going to destroy the work of your hands if you vow a vow and don't pay it. Don't make a vow that you're not going to keep. Now, some people respond like children as a result of this. Oh, well, if that be the case, I'm not going to make any vows. No, the emphasis is not on not making vows. The emphasis is on paying your vows. Okay? Should you read the Word of God every day or shouldn't you? Yes, obviously you should. Therefore, you need to make yourself accountable. I've been working real hard on my schedule here recently to try to make sure that I'm going to be held accountable for everything that I do. That's one of the reasons that Ron Hood and I have this telephone thing going on in the morning. See, folks, I don't have a boss except God. That's a ludicrous statement. I realize that. But I don't have a human boss in this business right here. Now, what are the four authority structures? Family, church, government, and employment. All right, in the employment, who do I work for? Work for God. Don't have a human boss, right? Okay. How about in the family? Who am I submissive to in my family? God. Okay. Nobody tell me what to do there? That's interesting. How about in the church? Yeah, I answer to God, don't I? So I have any human authority. All right. Well, the government. Well, if I obey the law, I don't have too many people give me problems there. The only human authorities that I have over me, unless I choose to place them over me, are in government, right? Now, so I've got to do something to make sure that I am accountable. So my schedule is my boss. And I do what my schedule tells me to do. If I don't do that, then I do what seems right in my own eyes. You see? And that's not the way to do it. So we've got to have some accountability. And the important thing about this business of making a vow is that it places the seriousness in it that you need in order to be reminded of it. It's also acknowledging that God's going to work against you if you don't do what you're supposed to do. See, because he's going to do that anyway. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. The fellow who doesn't read his Bible says that I can make it on my own. God's going to be resisting him in another area anyway. So I believe that it's important to lead folks to making vows about the things about which they should make vows. Okay? I believe Bible reading is a valid subject for making a vow. So, encourage each member in your family to make a vow to spend 5 minutes a day reading the Bible. 5 minutes a day, preacher, come on. You can't get anything out of the Bible in 5 minutes. Right? We'll talk about that more in just a few minutes. All right, let's go on. Some things that you can do, go ahead and raise it up a little bit. Some things that you can do now as you're teaching your family about this, the first thing is suggest some passages to them. If they say, if I'm reading the Bible, I mean, where do I read? Where can I read? Haven't you made up your mind that you wanted to read the Bible? You say, boy, I'm going to get this thing fixed. I'm going to read my Bible every day. And you haven't been reading your Bible, and one of the first things that Satan starts saying to you is, well, where are you going to read? I mean, there's so much of it in there that you haven't read. Where are you going to start? I mean, it's like starting an insurmountable task, isn't it? And you look at the Bible and you think, good night. There's 1,000 and how many pages in this? 1,400 pages of small print. I mean, each page in the Bible would fill about 2.5 to 3 pages in a regular book. And there's 1,300 pages. That's like sitting down and reading the encyclopedia almost. I'll never be able to read all of that. And I need to read it. I want to read it. Where in the world am I going to start? And that thing right there discourages some people. How many of you, honestly now, how many of you, has that happened to you? Because you wanted to have all of it read, you didn't read any of it. Isn't that right? All right. Well, there's several ways you can get around that. One thing is you make up your mind, I'm going to read 5 minutes a day if I just read the proverb for the day. Proverbs will teach you some important things that will get you into the rest of the Bible, by the way. Make up your mind that you're going to read one proverb a day. Make up your mind that you're going to read Hebrews 11 every day, if nothing else. Make up your mind that you're going to read a psalm every day. Start out, say, I'm going to read the whole Bible through, and I'm going to start with the New Testament, or I'm going to start with the Old Testament. Now, some of you in here have read Genesis 100 times. Genesis, half of Exodus, get into Leviticus, washed out. I'm going to read the Bible all the way through. Boy, I hate to start with Genesis again. I've read Genesis so many times. You know, huh? Isn't that it? Sure it is. I'm going to read the Bible all the way through. Read Leviticus first, or Numbers. Read that one first and get that thing, you know. If you read the Bible all the way through, you'll understand that Numbers is not in the Bible by mistake, by the way. You know, God wanted that in there too. And there's a lot of truth and a lot of meaning. Even in the lists of names, you take those names and study them out and translate them, and you'll find sentences of doctrinal truth presented in those lists of names. It's unbelievable the riches that the Bible has for us. It's tremendous. But we're talking about studying now. What we want to get across is just reading. Just exposing yourself to it. Just taking up the mirror of the Word of God and taking a good look in it every morning. Okay? 5 minutes a day. Everybody has the time. We don't even need to discuss that. But suggest some passages to them to whet their appetite. If they're a new Christian or if they're a youngster, start them reading the book of John. Or have them read the New Testament, or something like that. If it's a matter of reading the Bible all the way through, now here, what I want to do, every time I make up my mind to read all the way through the Bible, I start with the New Testament. Because the New Testament, I don't want you to falsely interpret what I'm saying, but the New Testament brings greater rewards for the amount of time that I spend in it to my thinking. Now, I enjoy the Old Testament, but when I'm doing serious study, that's when I go to the Old Testament. If I'm doing reading, I enjoy reading the New Testament more than I do the Old Testament, most of it. That's just my personal preference. I'm not saying that's the way you ought to be. That's the way I do it. You might want to start somewhere else. There are five different divisions in the Bible. There's the Pentateuch, the historical books. How many of you know what they are? Pentateuch, historical books. What's the next division? The poetical books. Prophets. And what's the fifth one? No. The prophets. And the New Testament. Okay, there you go. All right, those five sections there. You might want to read a passage from each one each day. You know, start out, read a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit here, and get a continuity of the Bible like that. Okay, but explain some passages to them, suggest passages, and then teach your family the seriousness of vows. Set them down saying, listen, I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to make a vow, but I want you to know how serious vows are. It'd be better for you to not make this vow if you don't intend to keep it. See, people make decisions. Decisions don't make people. People make vows. Vows don't make people. You know what I mean by that? Just because you say you're going to do a thing doesn't mean you're going to do the thing. If you're really going to do it down in your heart, it's good to say so. It's good to take your stand. That's why we have a public invitation here. If something has really happened in your heart, it's good to drive down a peg. It's good to take a stand and say, this has taken place in my heart, therefore, here's what I'm going to do about it. Okay? Some people think that walking forward in the church service and saying that they're going to do a thing will enable them to do it. Not so, necessarily. Just because you say you're going to do a thing doesn't mean you're going to do it. If you mean you're going to do it, it is good, though, to say so. That's what you're trying to lead them to get to the place where they're going to do it in their heart and they're willing to commit themselves. Because once they commit themselves, they'll be held responsible for it. You see? So explain the seriousness of vows to them. You can mark these verses down and reference them later. Okay? Go ahead and move that on down. All right. Why make a vow? All right, we've already talked about that a little bit. The word, the key word, is accountability. Accountability. You see, your children ought to be reading the Bible for themselves, too, if they can read. Every day. Developing those habits right now. Husbands, your wives ought to be reading the Bible for themselves every day. And you ought to be reading the Bible for yourself every day. And if you're not, you're going to be spiritually starved. Guarantee it. Guarantee it. Let's be honest about it. Come on. How many of you in here have had family problems this past week and you know it was because you neglected to read the Word of God that day? Be honest about it. All right, there you go. The rest of you are lying. Okay, not the rest of you, but some of you are. Okay? And you know you are. And I know who some of you are. You neglected your emphasis on the Word of God and you paid for it, didn't you? Okay, and you always will. I mean, here you get up in the morning and you don't eat breakfast, and then you don't eat lunch, and along about the middle of the afternoon, you get a headache. And think, good night, my head is killing me. What's the matter with my head? I don't know about you, I get a headache when I'm hungry. That's the way it works sometimes. The head is trying to say, listen, put something in the stomach, okay? And the head says, you know, this pain is the result of not having anything in the stomach. And the head says, that's ridiculous. The head is this far from the stomach. I'll put an aspirin in the stomach, and that'll go in the bloodstream, and that'll tell the head to leave me alone. And so now you got an empty stomach, and so you take a bunch of aspirins, and that makes you sick at your stomach, you know? And you're not dealing with the problem properly, okay? I've got a friend who gets headaches all the time, but he also neglects to eat all the time. He gets busy and involved in things, and he won't eat lunch, and he gets headaches. Boy, I have this trouble with headaches. No, you know, your big problem is not your headaches. Your big problem is you're not eating. You see, you're not nourishing your body. The same thing is true in the spiritual realm. Folks don't eat spiritually, they start having all kinds of problems. Oh, I've got to get this thing taken care of here. I've got this decision I've got to make, and I don't know what to do about it. What in the world am I going to do? Well, the first thing you ought to do is you ought to sit down and get something to eat, spiritually, so you can have enough sense to realize what you're doing. Okay? So, why a vow? Accountability. Why only 5 minutes? Somebody tell me. You know. It's realistic. That's one good. That's right. That's something you know you can do. It's an attainable goal. What else? It's habit forming. Discipline. That's the key. Discipline. If we can get ourselves to where we know we're going to do this thing. Now, folks, if you and the alarm clock have an arrangement, and you look at that alarm clock, and you allow yourself to talk yourself out of doing what you told that alarm clock to tell you, you're not going to have any discipline. I can recall very few, probably I can count them on one hand, times in my entire life when the alarm went off and I wanted to get up. Anybody in here like that? Anybody in here, the alarm goes off and you want to get up? One of you? You're crazy. You're crazy too. Okay? Okay. Oh, he didn't understand. He's all right then. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Alarm goes off and you want to get up. I don't know of anybody. There may be a few people like that. But they're weird. Okay? I mean, the flesh says, oh, man. I mean, I don't know what it is about people. Won't go to bed when it's time to go to bed. Won't get up when it's time to get up. Isn't that right? Well, you know, there it is. You know what the main problem about that business is? You know why you don't want to go to bed at night? Come on, tell me. Why don't you want to go to bed at night? Huh? Why don't you want to go to bed at night? Oh, okay. Well, now, there have been times when I've wanted to go to bed at night. But in other words, you just keep staying up. Do one more thing. Do one more thing. More people stay up goofing off at night than get into bed at a reasonable hour. Okay, that's the reason you can't get up. Why is that? Huh? All right, responsibility. You know, let me tell you something here. I think one of the main reasons, I'm not trying to be a psychologist here, but I think one of the main reasons, if not the main reason, that folks don't go to bed at night when they're supposed to is because they have not organized their time, they have not worked efficiently, they're frustrated at the end of the day, and they don't really feel like they've accomplished something, and they don't want to go to bed with that sense of defeat. I've just got to get at least one thing done today before I go to bed. Isn't that it? And so I'm going to do something. So I'll go dig a fallout shelter or something here at 10 o'clock at night. Isn't that the way it works? And then comes time to go to bed, and you got your... Listen, I did it this week. I did it. I started reading a book. Now, most of the books that I read are reference works. They're books that help me in sermon preparation and stuff. But I like to do some light reading also. But I know better. I know better than to start that kind of reading late at night. But I did it anyway. I got a novel. It was a true story. It was a story about this pilot. You may have seen it in Reader's Digest a few months ago. It's a MiG pilot, a guy named Viktor Belenko. He defected from Russia, brought a MiG-25 with him back in 1976. Now, I was in the Air Force for 7 years. I love to read about airplanes. And I tell you, I got captivated by that story. I laid there and read about 120 pages. And I thought, and guess what I thought about all night? Guess what I woke up thinking about? Yeah? So there it is. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Now, that taught me something. Pastor Kubak and I had a good talk about that, about meditating on the Word of God during the night. Dawson Trotman had a little saying that he would give to all of his sailor boys that he had brought into the Navigators. HWLW. Who knows what that stands for? HWLW. What does that stand for? Never heard that? His words, last words. Right before they'd go to sleep at night, the last thing they would say was a Bible verse. And then they would go to sleep thinking about that Bible verse. They'd wake up during the night, they'd have that Bible verse on their minds. Wake up in the morning, sometimes they'd have the Bible verse on their minds, be thinking about spiritual things. That's an important principle of meditation, by the way. But anyway, I'm getting off on too many things here. The reason to make a vow is for accountability. The reason you'll do it for 5 minutes is to develop discipline. Now, there will come, if you make a vow, and if any of you make a vow this morning to read the Bible for 5 minutes a day, there will come a day somewhere along the line that you're going to be snuggled up under the covers. And that pillow is going to be softer than it's been in a long time. Your body is going to be aching from the fact that you are trying to kill yourself by going to school full-time and work a full-time job at the same time. And so you're going to be laying there in the bed, and then it's going to dawn on you, the Holy Spirit's going to say, you couldn't even give me 5 minutes today, could you? And you're going to say, oh, boy, I'm already in the bed. The light's out. My Bible's in the other room. And I didn't give the Lord my 5 minutes. And now, if you got any character, what you're going to do is you're going to reach over, you're going to turn the light on, and you're going to get out of bed, and you're going to go in there, and if you have to stand up and stay awake, you're going to read that Bible for 5 minutes. Say, I'm not going to get anything out of it that way. Oh, yes, you will. You'll get 5 minutes worth of character. And you'll get another lesson in learning how to do right. Make up your mind, I'm going to do this thing, And then you say, yeah, but it's in the middle of the night. It's ridiculous. I should have started this morning. You'll be a whole lot more likely somewhere down the line to start doing it right if you'll start doing it at all. You see? Start with 5 minutes. You say, now, also, 5 minutes is what gets you going. Isn't it the same way with soul winning? So now, for example, sometimes you haven't been soul winning in a long time. You realize that your heart's not been right. You get right with the Lord and say, I'm going to start witnessing to people again. I'm going to start being faithful about this matter. You used to be a good soul winner, and there's folks in this room that used to be soul winners until they came to Greenville. A lot of folks like that right here in this room this morning. Used to be good soul winners until they came to Greenville. Now the only people they hang around with is Christians, and they got out of the habit of being a witness. They've lived their lives for so long for the selfish fellowship with other people who believe like they do, they've forgotten the very reason that they came to Greenville, was to learn how to deal with lost people. They're crying out loud. That's tragic, isn't it? So, sometimes that dawns on somebody, and they say, well, I'm going to get this thing worked out. I'm going to start dealing with lost people again. And you have to force yourself, don't you? Huh? I've been there before. You have to force yourself. Here's the person. I'm going to talk about spiritual things, this person. I'm going to do it. And so, the next thing you know, you force yourself to do right, and then what happens? You get involved. And you might even win the person of the Lord. And you think, man, why haven't I been doing this all along? Now, come on, let's be honest again. How many of you have experienced that? You had to make yourself do it, and after you did it, you thought, why in the world haven't I been? All right, that's the same thing that this Bible reading business is going to do. If you'll make sure that you are going to do it every day of your life, for the rest of your life, and make a vow about it, once you open the door, God will show you all kinds of wonderful things from His Word. You see? That's an important principle, isn't it? So, that's why I vow. Okay, so here's the application. Here's what we need to do. Number one, make up your mind. Make up your mind to encourage your family to read the Bible every day. To encourage every member of your family to read the Bible every day. Fathers, the burden is on you especially. But mothers, you can also have a part in this. And if you're single, you make up your mind now that you're going to read the Word of God every day. And those over whom you have influence, encourage them to read the Bible every day. Okay? That's the first step. The second step, take a vow seriously. It would be good to memorize Ephesians chapter 5, 4, 5, and 6. Take vows seriously. I'm going to ask you to make a vow here in a few minutes. And I know that there will be some here, and I don't want you to be embarrassed about it. We want to be honest with each other. There'll be some here who will not raise their hands because they'll say, listen, vows are serious to me. I'd rather you take the vow seriously than not take it seriously, but I'd rather you keep the vow than not keep the vow. In other words, I'd rather you make a vow and keep it than not make a vow. I'd rather you take the vow and make the vow and keep it than make it and not keep it. A readiness to will and a performance also, Paul said in Corinthians. Okay. So take vows seriously. You say, well, I'd rather not make a vow. Well, then consider the alternative. Huh? What's the alternative? Not reading your Bible sometime. And what's going to happen to you? Anybody in here wonder what's going to happen to you spiritually if you don't read the Bible every day? Okay? You want to know what's going to happen to you? Okay, you know what's going to happen to you. All right, you were just helping me there. All right? Anybody in here that does not know what will happen to you if you don't read the Bible every day? All right, here's what will happen to you. You will become spiritually starved. You will not think the way God thinks. You'll think like man thinks. Now, this is what Ron Hood told us Wednesday night, and he is so right in this thing. The best thing for us to do is to memorize and meditate on the Scripture day and night. In fact, it's not only commended, it's commanded in Scripture that we memorize and meditate on the Word of God all the time. If we're not memorizing and meditating on the Word of God, we will make decisions on the basis of what all the lies that we've put in our minds tell us to do. We have filled our minds with garbage all of our lives, from the television, from the conversations of others, from the things that we read, from all the foolishness that we come into contact with. We have got our minds full of garbage. It's like a computer that we have programmed with falsehood. Now we find ourselves in a situation, maybe you're just grocery shopping, ladies, and you come up and you look at the things on the shelves and you need to make a decision. Now, does anybody in here think that something that silly, you should wonder what the Holy Spirit wants you to do about it? Anybody in here think that you ought to find out what the Holy Spirit wants you to do about what brand of jelly you buy? There's a few of you in here spiritual enough to realize that God cares about that too. You know, there's nothing that God says, well, I don't care about that. You take care of that one. You know? That's right. God wants us where he wants us, and he wants us to be doing what he wants us to be doing in every area of our life. There's no neutral ground, folks. None whatsoever. It's important to God what time you get up. It's important to God what clothes you wear. When I was up in Hamden, Indiana, I took three suits with me. I had this one, I had the gray one that I have like this, and then I had another one that I don't like as well as these because it's a little bit warmer. I got up one morning, I was planning on wearing my lightweight gray suit. And had all my shirts all starched up and everything hanging there. And I got up there, and I took a hold of that suit, and the Holy Spirit said to me, don't wear that suit today. And I said to the Holy Spirit, why not? You know, kind of like you do sometimes. And he said, because I don't want you to wear that suit today. I want you to wear your other suit. And I said, Lord, that suit's hot. And I said, let me wear this one. I'll wear that one tomorrow. I didn't have any intention of wearing it tomorrow. I just took it along so I'd have it in case I needed it. I didn't like it, and I still don't like it. I don't wear it very often. But it's one of my older suits. And so he said, wear that one. And I started almost to say, Lord doesn't care what I wear. For crying out loud, it's a suit. Put the thing on. And then I got thinking, whoa, wait a minute. Hold it. Suppose I go out of here today and I'm walking along beside the road and some car hits a mud hole and splashes all over me. I wish I had my older suit on. Suppose I'm fixing to tear the pants on this thing today. God's taking care of me here, and I better do what he tells me to do. Nothing like that happened, but I don't know that it wouldn't have if I hadn't disobeyed God. I said, okay, Lord. So I hung the suit that I wanted to wear back in the closet. I took the other one out and put it on. And, you know, I began to see some important things. God just started loving me and teaching me some things in my mind as I recalled some verses that I'd been working on. And the Lord just showed me the important thing for you to do is to recognize that I care about even these things that you think are not important. You see? And that's an important principle of life. Now, you will never get to the place where you do that unless you're thinking like God thinks and unless you think scripturally. You'll never be able to think scripturally unless you memorize and meditate on the Word of God. And you will never even be able to think at all like God wants you to if you're not reading the Word of God every day. Now, you've made wrong decisions in your life. And the reason that you've made wrong decisions is because you did not discern what God wanted you to do. Right or wrong? Huh? That's right. So, what will happen to me if I don't read the Word of God every day? You'll end up running your own life. Now, let me ask you something. Who do you want running your life? You or God? I don't know about you. I'm not smart enough to run my own life. Because every time I've tried it, I've messed something up bad. Okay? So, that's why it's important. So, consider the alternative. Make a bond of accountability. If you're married, husbands and wives. If you're not married, get a friend. If you're children, make a bond of accountability with your children. Or with someone else. I'm being accountable to the clock right now. I got to quit. What's the fifth one? This discipline is the foundation of all Christian habits. This business of saying, I'm going to do this thing because it's right. You'll never be able to develop any other Christian habit if you don't get this one basic one down. The very first thing that you tell a person to do after he gets saved is read his Bible every day. Reading the Word of God is more important. You might not like this. That's more important than joining a local church. That's more important than getting baptized. It's more important than anything else. It is the basic thing that every Christian has to do is to read the Word of God. Why? Because if you read the Word of God, he'll do all those other things. Because that's where it tells him to do them, see? We got folks, they want to get baptized, want to join a local church, they want to become a soul winner, they want to have a Sunday school class, they want to do everything in the world. They even want to come off to go to Bob Jones University and get a degree of all things in Bible, the very thing which they have never made up their minds that they're going to read every day of their lives. Isn't that something? That's pathetic. If God's dealt with your heart about it, if you mean business, if you've never done it before, if you've had a problem with it and you want to get victory over it, and you're willing to say, I realize if I do this and I don't keep it, God will destroy the work of my hands, my kid's going to get sick, my house is going to burn down, something's going to happen. I'm willing, though, to say, it's that important, I want to be accountable, I will read at least 5 minutes in the Word of God every day for the rest of my life, as Ron Hood says, stand up with me right now for prayer. Just stand because everybody else is. Father, we thank you this morning that these have said, I'll make a vow to thee today that I will read the Word of God 5 minutes every day for the rest of my life. Lord, this is a serious matter. we recognize that we place ourselves in a position of being worked against by God Himself if we do not do the thing we've said we would do today. But Lord, we need this kind of discipline. We need this kind of character. And we ought to be doing this anyway. And so we make our vow to Thee today to read the Word of God every day for at least 5 minutes for the rest of our lives. We ask Thee through Thy Spirit to remind us of this vow each day that we might forget. And help us to get to the place where we organize our schedule not around the activities that we want to do that bring pleasure, but around the important things. And Father, help us to use the pleasure that comes into our schedule to refresh us for the work and not work so that we can have the pleasure. In Jesus' name, amen.